In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harris. I'm very happy to be here. Rob is here as well. He's back from his honeymoon. Tomorrow's show is going to be a little bit different because of the Royals game. So the Royals, I believe they start at noon. Am I correct? So pregame is at 11. Royals are on noon. Let's say tomorrow we'll be on at 4 o'clock. That seems like a good enough time. Rob, do you agree? You think tomorrow at 4 o'clock sounds about right?
3:45, 4. I bet The Drive takes the air in that window.
Yeah, somewhere about then. So we'll be on tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We'll know if the Royals won or lost the series or not. There's certainly a lot to get into. So this is what I would like to do. We caught up with Dan Hayes earlier. We'll play a best of cut. Rob, if you can get that together, I want you guys to hear him. He is the Minnesota Twins beat writer for The Athletic. So we'll play that for you guys over some part of the show today. We do want to talk to you guys about the man who, in fantasy football, he came in last place, so he had to go to a Tampa Bay Rays game dressed as a clown.
I'm going to guess by kind of reading between...
They're kind of trying to read the situation.
Yeah, and not t-shirt. Really good at a fantasy sport.
Yeah.
Probably came in last place and had to go roll a clown to the ball game.
Yeah.
He looks very sad, too. That's not a happy clown.
Well, you know, he wasn't very good in the football pool.
Rob, are you in a fantasy football league? I think you've been listening to the show long enough. You know that I do not play fantasy football, that I'm not a fantasy football player. So I've never come in last place in one of these things. So I've never had to do one of these ridiculous, you came in last place, so that means you have to take the SAT. Do you participate in this?
My league does not have a punishment for last place. So I am in a fantasy football league. I have, proudly enough, never finished in last place. But my league is, it's a group of guys that's now at this point in time spread all over, not just the metro area, but all around, you know, the world and United States. And with Zoom and things like that, we do our draft virtually. So it's hard to be like, hey, we're going to really punish so-and-so. He lives in Dallas now. So we don't really have a punishment, but I have friends who are in leagues where they have punishments, and compared to some things I've heard, wearing clown makeup at a Rays game would be relatively tame.
913-586-7610. If you guys are in a fantasy league and you have to do one of these ridiculous things for coming in last place, let me know what you have to do. What is the penalty for you coming in last place? I know a lot of people that do the Waffle House challenge. So if you guys don't know what that is, you have to sit in a Waffle House for 24 hours. Every waffle that you eat knocks 1 hour off your time. So if you eat 12 waffles, you only have to sit in there for 12 hours, et cetera. I think you guys get the premise of it. I know a lot of people that end up doing the waffle challenge. We had Aaron Ladd on the show earlier. He said that he has finished last place twice in his league. 1 year he had to go see a JoJo Siwa concert. The other year, he had to run a milk mile. So certainly does not sound fun. I would tell you to know more about the National Football League. That would be my advice. All right, so there is a lot to get into between now and the end of the show. We're off a little bit earlier today because of the Royals. We don't have to do the hits today in a traditional sense. Let's start with the Royals. We've been talking a lot of Royals baseball today, as we should. The Royals are in a very important series. I would say that we have kind of learned a couple of things about the Royals over the course of the last 2 weeks or so. I don't think the Royals are going to get hot. not hot in what they would need to sort of run away with this race. We have seen 106 Royals games that are not attached to the Chicago White Sox. They are 53-53, and that's a stat that a lot of people have been throwing around. They don't have any more games against the White Sox. If they finish 500 the rest of the way, they have 43 games left. So if they finish 22-21, they'll win 87 games. That is maybe enough for you to make the postseason, but it's going to be tough. You would think that either Boston or Houston or Seattle, one of those teams, is going to win more. We'll see what happens with the Minnesota Twins. I think the second place team in the AL East is also going to win more than that. So I'm simply trying to math out a pathway that this team is going to have to follow in order for them to make the postseason. We'll continue to see what happens. They got Seth Lugo going today. They got Cole Reagans going tomorrow for the Kansas City Royals. It's very, very simple. If the Royals win this series against the Minnesota Twins, they're in second place. If they lose this series, they are still in third place. And they are in a worse position than when they landed in Minneapolis. The reason we are talking about this is I've thought a lot about the Vern quote from a couple of days ago on the morning show when Vern said this.
Solely focused on the division. Because to me, this whole the past month has been strange. Some of the sentiment I'm hearing from Royals fans, come on. Yeah, you beat up on the White Sox and the Tigers, but do you know your record against everyone else? Who cares? You're in the American League Central. You know, it's not the Royals' fault that the Yankees and the Astros don't have 13 cracks at the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians, they have 13 chances, and they're 5-5 against Chicago so far. The Royals have dominated Chicago. They've won the season series from Detroit. They've taken 4 of 6 from Cleveland, and they have a chance to even up the season series with Minnesota beginning tonight. Understandably, we praise Andy Reid for his domination of the AFC West, consistently winning that division. That is the goal. That's how you guarantee some home games at Kauffman Stadium. It's a joke to me how often I'm hearing people go, all right, a third wild card, the Royals hanging on to the third wild card by a game. And the third wild card is nothing.
I hear what Vern is saying. And yesterday I said that Vern was right, and I apologize, and I'm not flip-flopping the next day. But I think what I'm saying is pretty matter of fact. I also think that Vern would agree. We're going to have Vern on later in the week. We can't talk about the division if you can't pass second place. We can't talk about you winning the race if you don't put yourself in a position to catch the leader. In order to catch the leader, you need to pass Minnesota. And so far this season, the Royals, they have played 8 games against Minnesota. They've won 2 of them. If the Royals don't win the division, it will be very clear. They've struggled against Minnesota. Now, they've been good against Cleveland. They are 4-2 against Cleveland. They took a 4-game set over Cleveland a couple of months ago. So this thing is not completely over. You've got 7 games against them, but every day the season, we get closer to the end of the season. We're talking about 43 games left. You know how they say baseball is a marathon, not a sprint? We are getting real close to the sprint. If this was an Olympic race, you have run, and this was the 1,600 meters. We have run like 1,100 of the meters. You're in third place. You can still win this race, but you need to get going at some point. You need to turn on the afterburners. You need to hit the jets. You need to run a little bit faster if this is a race that you would like to win. So at least for me, Rob, that's the math that I have for this team. They have played 500 baseball aside from the White Sox. If they continue to play 500 ball, that puts them around 87 wins. If they get to 87, you can make the postseason with 80 wins. Boy, that last week is going to be a stressful week if you are in line to win 87 games, though.
I mean, that's going to chew on your fingernails. Because on the text line says FanGraphs, who runs far more mathematical formulas than this show, has 88 wins getting in.
Yeah.
88 wins probably does get you in. I think some of the advantage of the Royals and all the teams fighting right now is that they're all going to have to fight each other. Like, the Royals have games with the Twins left. The Twins have games with the Guardians. Like, everyone's still playing each other, so there's a little bit of you're going to cannibalize yourself a touch, but you got to get to 90 to feel safe, and we talked about it earlier. That's 25 of your next 43. That is not an impossible task, but it is more difficult now that the easiest wins on your schedule are out of the way. So got some easy ones on the schedule. The Angels still exist, but you don't have any White Sox games. 25 wins, though, It's a sprint now. Let's see if the Royals can get to that number.
So I want to play a little cut of this for you guys. We had Dan Hayes on the show earlier today. Dan Hayes covers the Minnesota Twins. He is their version of Nate Taylor. He is the beat writer for The Athletic covering the Minnesota Twins. We talked to him about this. These two teams have virtually an identical record. They have scored the same amount as they have given up against each other. They should be even, yet they have played 8 games and the Twins have won 6 of them. Why, even though the records are so similar, why have the Twins been able to control the series?
Yeah, no, and I look, it's the Bailey Ober factor. In those two starts, Kansas City has outscored the Twins 17-1 this season. So what's that make it? 34-18 in the other 6 games. Bailey Ober has never been able to figure out the Royals. It's very weird because if you look what he's done since opening day, I think he has a 3.10 ERA. In that start, he lasted 2 outs, gave up 8 runs. We'd be talking about Bailey Ober as a Cy Young candidate if it wasn't for that opening day start right now. He's been that good, and he's been excellent the last 9 times out there. His 9 quality starts in a row, 6 innings. It's the longest streak for a Twins pitcher in a long time. For whatever reason, he can't figure out the Royals, and it's why we won't see him in this series. You know, he could potentially go on Wednesday. I'm getting the sense the Twins, they haven't announced it, but I'm getting the sense the Twins are going to give him an extra day of rest and start him Thursday in Texas, because they're in this stretch right now where they have 13 games in a row and they're trying to keep their starting pitchers fresh, especially since out of the original group, only Pablo Lopez and Bailey Ober are healthy. So they're trying to take care of their guys. And I think one way to maybe take care of Bailey Ober is not start him against a team that's just giving him fits for his entire career.
Right now, we're talking to Dan Hayes, who covers the Twins for The Athletic. Dan, I know that this question has been posed to the Royals in Kansas City. I'm curious if this same thing has happened in Minnesota. I mentioned the records earlier. I mean, Minnesota is 12-1 against the White Sox, and they've just been okay against everybody else. The comparison that a lot of people have made here in Kansas City is to the Miami Dolphins from this year in the NFL. They beat up on some of the lower-tier teams in the league, but when they went up against Kansas City and Baltimore, they usually lost those games. What's the feeling around this Twins team as the season is playing out?
I think that, you know, a lot, if you look early on, a lot of it was when the Twins haven't been at full strength. Now, one of the things that the Twins kind of maybe are finding out is the reality is they're just not going to be at full strength. You know, Byron Buxton left Monday's game with hip soreness and his day-to-day, and we'll see how long he's out. Carlos Correa hasn't played since July 10th. Before that, you know, Royce Lewis missed the first 58 games of the season. It's sort of just been their reality. But a lot of the damage against really good teams was early on. They had this stretch where they came out and they played Cleveland, they played the Dodgers, they played the Brewers, they played Baltimore, they played the Yankees, all with Royce Lewis on the bench. I think that the Twins feel like that they are better than they've shown against those teams. That record has improved a lot. And, yeah, they're great against the White Sox and just 2 games above 500 against everybody else. But I think, you know, they've shown a lot of flashes. They had a homestand against Baltimore or Boston and Seattle back in May when they were kind of at half strength and they took 5 out of 7 from them. You know, I think that you look at Kansas City, Kansas City is a good team. The fact that the Twins have beat them 6 out of 8 says a lot. You know, it's just been a strange year all around for the Twins. They cannot seem to stay healthy. And then they lost Joe Ryan last week and potentially for the rest of the season. So maybe it is the reality that they just won't be healthy at 100% at any time, and this is who they are. But I think they feel like they are a better team and that they will achieve better health. And that's why they're kind of looking long-term with some of these guys. Carlos Correa is not rushing back. Byron Buxton might sit 3 or 4 days with this injury to make sure that he can be around for the rest of the season. So they've been very cautious, and I think that that has hurt them at times. And, you know, I mean, it still doesn't explain Cleveland, but, you know, they did go 2-2 with Royce Lewis in the lineup against Cleveland, whereas they were 0-5 earlier in the season when he was out of the lineup. So I think they feel they're better, but they got to prove it.
Absolutely. Dan, are you still looking to the division, or have you kind of shifted towards the wild card? It's funny because we were having this conversation with our Royals insider, and his point was everybody is so focused on the wild card when the division is still there. Well, if you can't beat the team that's in second place right ahead of you of Minnesota, then it's just not realistic to think that you can win the division. You guys are in a little bit of a different spot. You guys have struggled against Cleveland. Are Twins fans focused on trying to catch Cleveland in the division or hold on to one of those wild card spots?
You know, when you talk to the team, they basically say we just got to take care of our own business. Cleveland's been outstanding this year. Whether or not that bullpen can hold up another 48 games or whatever's left in their schedule, it remains to be seen. They are asking a lot of their relievers. They really didn't do much at the deadline to improve their starting staff. I do like the two kids that they have in there. You know, we saw them. Gavin Williams looked pretty good against the Twins. Because he was locating his secondary stuff. And obviously, Bibee is looking very good and like the real deal. And like, hey, what do you know? Cleveland found another great pitcher to put at the front of its rotation. But beyond them, I mean, look, Alex Cobb looked terrible against the Twins. Carrasco just went on the IL. They're working on a limited rotation right now. And you wonder if that can hold up. And yet, at the same time, as much as you wonder if it can hold up, they keep doing it, and they've done it all year. It's hard to say, does Cleveland slow down? They have the schedule in their favor. The only meetings left with the Twins, all four in Cleveland in September. You know, Correa should be back for that and could be a huge difference maker, I think, in that regard. But at the same time, I think the Twins just need to focus on playing well and stay, you know, in the – third, fourth, make sure that they are in that wild card spot, because I think, you know, you look at what they were able to accomplish last year. They kind of got over that hump where they now know that they're capable of doing something in the playoffs. And I think that this is an experienced group that likes each other, and it's a very deep and talented group. You know, you consider that Twins team that scored 8 runs last night is missing, you know, Carlos Correa out of the lineup last night. Brooks Lee is not in the lineup right now. He's on the IL. You know, they have 6, 7, 8 guys deep they're good, formidable bats. And I think that team showed what it's capable of last night. They can hit with anybody. And if they can do that, you know, they have a chance to make some noise in October.
Last thing here, Dan, and you alluded to it. It's funny because these three teams are pretty close between Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City. Obviously, Cleveland has the advantage, 3.5 games up on Minnesota and 5 games up on Kansas City. But, I mean, the last 40 games of this season is really going to be a sprint to see who gets the best of each other as these teams still play each other. Minnesota still comes to Kansas City. Kansas City still has 7 games against the Guardians. That even though the Royals, they are furthest away back, they maybe have the best ability to make up that ground if they can simply take care of their own business. And you said that regarding the Twins as well.
Yeah, and I think the Twins are hoping the Royals play Cleveland great. I mean, the Royals have really good starting pitching, and that's been evident all year. The one thing the Royals have a little disadvantage on is I think they only have 26 home games left, and you guys know the disparity between how good they are at home and how good they are offensively on the road. I mean, it's huge, and look at Bobby Witt. It's like 400 points of OPS difference. Bobby Witt is the greatest player on the face of the earth when he's in Kansas City, which is so hard to explain because I just don't think of that as a place that you should hit. And he has found a way to master it, and it's amazing. He's such a talent, and he's like, look, he should be very strong consideration for the MVP candidate. But they have more road games than they do home, and seriously, that you know, you think that favors the other teams, but at the same time, you just can't bet against their starting pitching. I know Singer didn't have a good start last night, but man, he looks really good compared to where he was a couple of years ago, and. Lugo has been outstanding. Like it's just a solid rotation through and through, and you have enough guys getting it done with the lineup. So it should be a really interesting final, you know, 50, 48 games, whatever we have here, with three teams that are playing way better than anyone ever gave them credit for or expected. Everybody thought the Twins were going to be good. Everybody else thought that the Royals and Cleveland would scrape by and maybe get to 500. It's nice to see the division.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surpassing expectations.
I want to read this to you before we have to sign off today. So the league issued a statement to Pro Football Talk regarding Rashee Rice. Quote, "We have been monitoring developments in the matter. Following the conclusion of the legal process, the league will review the matter under the personal conduct policy. I've been saying this from the beginning. Rashee Rice is not getting suspended this year. There still is no court date. They are not resolving the legal process during this season. Now, at some point in 2025, Rob is going to hit the breaking news sounder, and that breaking news sounder is going to be that Rashee Rice has been suspended. We will know what he is suspended for, but he is not being suspended at any point during the 2024 season. We are out of here today. Good luck to the Royals today. We will be on tomorrow after the Royals game against the Minnesota Twins. We'll know if they have won or lost the series. Henry Lake will also join us tomorrow on the show to recap everything. Keep it right here. It's The Drive and 610 Sports Radio.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.